Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Now you can be either, but you cannot be both. Ephesians 4, verse 26. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and do not sin. God says we can get mad. He said, this is how long you have to get over it. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So you can be, if you get mad really early in the morning, you can be mad all day long. But when the sun goes down, whoop, it's over. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. I want to repeat the thought. The thought this morning is, do we want to be a friend of God? Or do we want to run with the devil? I had two dreams last night. The first one, it must have been so horrific that God wouldn't even let me remember it, because all I did was wake up and I can't even describe what the place I was in when I woke up. My heart was pounding so loudly I could hear it. Boom, 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 boom. I thought, what in the? I knew what was going on, but I didn't know. And so I go back to sleep. And it wasn't very long, and I start having, and I call it a dream. It's more of a nightmare. And in this dream, there was just rattlesnakes buried everywhere, and they were weird. They were kind of small snakes, but they had huge heads, and they were buried. I mean, they couldn't get out, so they were kind of controlled. And I just kind of ignore it in the dream. I just don't pay much attention because I know they're not getting out of there and they're not bothering me. So I just ignore it. I get busy doing some other stuff is what happened. And so I look out the window again and there's this little bitty kitten. I'm talking, it's a teeny tiny kitten, and it's playing among those snakes. And I'm like, you better get out of there. That's a bad place. And it's batting these snakes in the head, playing with them. And I'm telling the cat, you're going to get bit. But I don't do anything about it. I just tell the cat, and the cat gets bit over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And pretty soon there's another little kitten out there doing the same thing. And that kitten gets bitten over and over and over and over. And then pretty soon there's a big white mama cat. She's right there in the middle of it, and she's fighting these snakes, and she's biting them and clawing them and scratching them, trying to get her babies out from those snakes. And she was successful to get them out. But the next scene in the dream, I look, and she's dragging these little kittens around. They were obviously dying from the snake bites. I woke up and my heart was just pounding. Boom, 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 boom. And you can say what you want about it. You can say God spoke it or the devil did it. I don't care what you say. But I'm telling you, there is a very strong warning in that dream. We live in a culture that began 6,000 years ago when God gave Adam some very explicit instructions. And Adam failed in that he ate of the fruit. And destruction came to the human race. And we live in a culture where the demonic strongholds are buried and they are embedded throughout our culture. I mean, we have literally legitimized things that are absolutely forbidden in Scripture. as a nation. I'm talking about America, the country. Now, I'm not even addressing the world. That's too big a stage. I mean, I feel overwhelmed talking about America. But we've legalized abortion in our nation. And if you've had an abortion, God bless you. God help you. God forgive you. There is forgiveness. There's nothing I'm talking about this morning that God can't forgive. Jesus died. If you'll receive Christ, you can have your past expunged. Wiped away. That's the gospel. But we've murdered over 60 million babies. We live in a culture where we've made it legal for same-sex marriage. And you can do anything you want. God gives you that right. You can run with the devil or you can run with God, but you can't run with both. But we are, as a nation, we're pulling these things in and embracing them. We're calling good evil and evil good. Things forbidden by God, we're legitimizing it. We're making it legal. It's just insanity. We live in a culture where these things are embedded throughout our society. And coming up Tuesday is the biggest pagan holiday of all times. And if you know anything about Halloween, if you really know anything about it, the occult, it's insane. I don't want to be melodramatic. I want to be legitimate. I want to be intellectual about this. I want to be intelligent. But the reality is there's horrific things take place on Halloween in the occult. You think that there are no human sacrifices today, and you are wrong. The drug cartels that rule Mexico, and they're here, have been for a long time. They murdered some of my friends. 30 years ago, they murdered some of my friends. 30 years ago. These people are not to be trifled with. They are ruthless. They have no compassion. They have no empathy toward human life. And they are deeply entrenched in the occult. And they will take a human being, a baby, and they will sacrifice it to Satan. And Halloween is the highest holy day in the occult. And the longer they keep the child alive, the more power they draw from Satan from it. I'm just telling you the truth today. I know this is not a popular topic, and I know that people don't always believe this stuff because folks have went over the top with it, and they've said things that weren't necessarily true. But what I'm telling you right now is truth. There are times that the cartel will kill, 13's a big number with them, and they'll cut their heads off and they'll hang them up, human beings, hang them up across a bridge so everybody can watch it. And the police are afraid to touch it because they know who they're dealing with. Because the cartel is in the police in Mexico. They're in the army in Mexico. They're in government in Mexico. They hold positions of power and authority. They run the country. And I've listened to people that were in the occult that got born again. They became followers of Jesus. And I've listened to their testimonies, and they're like, why would a Christian allow their children to celebrate on the most wicked, evil day in the occult? He said, you don't see any Satanists worshiping Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, but you see Christians worshiping Satan on Halloween. I mean, this is crazy. It's insane. In James 4 and 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil. Don't play with him. Well, Paul just said it in Ephesians 4, give no place. Well, it's just one day a year. And then how many movies do we watch? I mean, as insane as I was, and I used to be insane, when they come out with The Exorcist, I said, I ain't watching that. When they come out with Rosemary's Baby, I said, I ain't watching that. And one time I watched a horrific movie, Silence of the Lambs, and I went up to see Billy because I was just a hellion in those days. When Billy came over to witness to me, the Lord told him, go to Barry's house and tell him about Jesus. And Billy was driving by my house hoping I wasn't there. He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to go to my house. But then he saw that there was people in the house, and so he had to come up and talk to me. And he didn't want to do it because he knew what he was talking to, a hellion. And I went up and was talking to Billy, and he's trying to witness to him. I'm telling him how good a movie Silence of the Lamb is. If you're not familiar with that movie, it's awful. Somehow people think that it's okay to be involved with this stuff. I mean, the music that there's so many things in our nation that are absolutely embedded in our culture, and we can act like it's not a big deal, but people say, the movies, the music, they entertain me, they move me, and I'll be the first to admit there's appetites in me that when I hear AC/DC, when I hear Hell's Bells Begin, I have to get away because I like it. But I know the origin of it. I was preaching a funeral one time of a kid I really loved. And he actually went to church for a little while we were down here at the old building. And I believe he got saved, and I'm praying that he's in heaven. But he got messed up. He was just a messed up kid. And man, I don't care. I'll stick with you. I don't care how messed up you are. I'll ride to the end with you because I know God is able to transform. And he got messed up, and he got thrown in jail, and he just lost hope, and he hung himself. And I was so sad. And they asked me to preach his funeral. And they did it at a funeral home in Tulsa. And they brought me the lyrics of one of the songs that they wanted played, and I would have never allowed it in here, but it's a funeral home in Tulsa, and I'm not in charge there. The family just told the funeral director, this is the song that we want played, and it's AC/DC, and I used to say it's the original version. I don't really know that that's the truth, but I know that it's the version that that was in Australia. And in America, they Americanized it, and they the song around here, we know it for those about to rock. We salute you. But that's not the lyrics that they sang in Australia. It was for those about to rot, R-O-T. We salute you. And they said, this is the song we're going to play. And I'm backstage and I am praying. I'm saying, God, what do I do? And the Lord says, talk to him about hope. And so I go out there and they play that song. And there's like seven guys in this audience that they're in full shackles. They'd gotten them out of the penitentiary to be at this service. I mean, they were shackled hands, waist, and feet. They walk like this, chained. These guys were not shoplifters. And it was a rough crowd. And everybody's, I mean, they're during the song, and I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. And if you knew me just a few years prior, I would have been doing the same thing with them. You can run with the devil, or you can run with God, but you can't run with both. And so I stepped into the pulpit that day, and I said, there's no hope in that song. I mean, think about it. The lyrics, for those about to rot, we salute you. There's no hope in that. There's none. You're a rotting corpse, and you're gone and done, and we're going to celebrate today, and we're moving on. And they don't realize they're racing to the same grave they're about to put this guy into. And I said, there's no hope in that song. And it made a lot of them mad. They got up and walked out. But some of them stayed. And I preached the gospel. And whether they ever heard it again, they heard it that day. Because I'm telling you, folks, you can either run with God, or you can run with the devil, but you can't run with both. And I know people, they're like, well, I know it's kind of dark, but I just don't think it's that wicked. And what we're really saying, I mean, we look at Halloween for an example. I mean, you got witchcraft, you've got macabre, you got the glorifying death. You have jack-o'-lanterns, which are absolutely demonic. When they first started carving pumpkins, it was to summon the demonic, summon spirits. So if you carve a jack-o'-lantern and put it on your porch, the demons, when they go by, they're saying, we're welcome here. And I'm telling you, that's one of the things that we need to do as a people. We need to go through our houses. And if we got movies that are questionable, music, I could give you a long list. I was a Van Halen freak. Think about some of the songs that they sing. Running with the Devil. Like I said, AC/DC, highway, I'm on the highway to hell. Boy, that's encouraging. I mean, it's not like they're not telling the truth. Jumpin' Jack Flash. I mean, we got so many rock and roll songs and country and western songs, not to just pick on rock and roll. I was a rock and roll. I was a headbanger. Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, The Black Crows, Led Zeppelin. I'm talking, you name them, I loved them. And if I still hear that music today, there's an inner stirring in me. The appetite is still there, but I can't afford to feed it because I can either run with God or I can run with the devil, but I can't run with both. We can say these things are not that evil. But what we're saying, I mean, we just read two verses and the scriptures are full of it. It says, give no place to the devil, resist the devil. And I could go on and on with the scripture of what it says about the demonic and how we are to avoid it and how we're to have nothing to do with it. And I need to say this too, because what happened to Job? And you Bible scholars, what happened to Job? What's the real question? What took place in Job's life? We read it today. Chapter 3. The things that Job feared came on him. I am not afraid of the devil. That's why I woke up this morning and I said, if you're threatening me, you're threatening the wrong guy. I'm going to talk about you today, and I'm going to expose you today, and I'm going to make it just as clear as I can make it. And if it was God telling me, son, you ain't been talking about this a lot. You've been dealing with a lot of good things, but you need to talk about this some too. Then I can't tell you which one spoke to me, but I took it as either one I'm talking about it. See, if you are afraid of the devil, then you open a door to him to do stuff to you. So we're not to be afraid of the devil. I'm not trying to strike fear in your heart. I'm just trying to give you some awareness. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, if you run with God, the devil is under your feet. Hallelujah. And I want to close with this thought. Bringing heaven to earth is supposed to be hard. Jesus, he taught us to pray this way. And he dealt with the devil in that prayer, but I'm not going to deal with that this morning. I've already dealt with the devil all I want to. But Jesus said, your kingdom come, Father. Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's literally bringing heaven to earth. And that's what we've been praying about. That's what we've been preaching about. That's what we've been talking about for weeks. That's what I've been distracted with. So it's not a bad thing that I've been distracted with. But this has to be addressed, especially in the season that we're in. And you've got to understand, I mean, the Lord just made this so clear to me this week, and the scripture bears it out. Sometimes we think bringing heaven to earth should be a piece of cake. You know, we just recite the Lord's Prayer every now and again, and then it'll happen. But if you know anything about intercession, that's not the way it happens. It's groaning and travailing and fasting and praying and persevering and enduring and pressing and continuing steadfastly and faithfully and dealing with ourselves. It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he said, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In chapter 15, the same book, in verse 30, it says, as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, Paul said. So it's dangerous to bring heaven to earth. Just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought with wild beasts, he's talking about people in Ephesus that tried to kill him over the gospel. He said, with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's the whole point right there. If dead people are not raised, if serving God does not end you up in heaven, then we're wasting our time. I should have just kept right on doing all the stupid things I was doing. Because it don't matter. But if what I'm telling you today is true, If what I'm telling you is that the sin of Adam has brought destruction to humanity, God fixed that with his son Jesus, and what you do with Jesus doesn't just affect your life right here on planet Earth, it affects eternity. That the dead are raised, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't do this. Ain't no way. I'd already be dead because I would have continued to be one of the wildest guys around. But there's no hope in that. And there's hope in what I'm telling you. Jesus is real. God is real. Resurrection from the dead is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And we can either run with God or we can run with the devil, but we can't run with both. And when you're trying to convince people that Jesus is the answer and you're doing what needs to be done, you pray, you fast, you persevere, you use every spiritual weapon in your arsenal to pull down strongholds, to see people's lives transformed, it is supposed to be hard. And people are like, I don't understand exactly what you're saying. Well, if you've ever tried to win somebody to Jesus, you know it's hard. Rarely is that easy. And the only time it's easy is when someone else has already put in the hard work. See, sometimes you go witnessing somebody and they get saved and you're like, wow, that was cool. What you don't know is their mom and dad have been praying for them for the last 25 years. See, it seemed easy the day I got saved. But what I didn't know was my dad had been fasting for me every Wednesday for years. What I didn't know is people like Aunt Margaret and Uncle John and my mom and my dad and everybody else that knew me, they'd been praying for me year after year after year after year. And so salvation seemed easy the day I got saved, but it had been hard work up to that point. My point is this, and this is so important because you just gotta get used to the hardness. And you just gotta understand it's just part of the process. And just because it's hard, that's no reason to back up, that's no reason to quit, that's no reason to make deals with the devil. I've seen a couple of people make deals with the devil and it never works. One of my good friends, he was my best friend, is buried right out here in Ethel Reese Cemetery. He was leading Royal Rangers at the Assembly of God Church in Winona, Oklahoma. And the devil was attacking his family. And he told the devil, if you'll leave my boys alone, I'll step down from Royal Rangers. Now, I love these kids. I pray for these two young men every day. Because they don't have a daddy here praying for him anymore. Because he died in a car wreck. And one of the boys is in the penitentiary right now. And I'm hoping the other one is serving the Lord. I hope he is. I believe he is. He was at some services here with us not too long ago. I hope both of them are serving. You can serve God in the penitentiary. Sometimes that's the best place to meet him. Stay out of some trouble there. It's there if you want it. But you can stay out of it there if you want to, too. So that's one guy that made a deal with the devil that did not work. I know another person that made a deal with the devil and it did not work. You can't play with the devil. You just can't. And it's just going to be hard. You just got to get that through your head. And if I have not, if I've not made this completely clear, the only way that we will bring heaven to earth is if we got to not be living like hell. We can't be running with the devil and bring heaven to earth. And I just ask you this question this morning. Is there anything in your life that you're comfortable with me and Kathy doing? Let me say it like this. I misspoke there. Is there anything in your life that you're uncomfortable with me and Kathy doing? Would you look at us differently if we're doing some of the same things you're doing? I won't look at you. Or do you hold spiritual leaders at a higher level? You know, they're way up here and we're way down here. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. One new man. That's what the Bible teaches. Neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free. Jesus has taken humanity and molded them into his image. So Jesus is the standard. So are you involved in some things that you're comfortable with in your life, but if you knew I was doing it, it would affect the way you looked at me. And you can run with God or you can run with the devil, but you can't run with both. And I'm here today not to preach condemnation, not to make you feel guilty. I don't want to upset you. I'm not trying to offend you. But I'm trying to get through to you that if we're not working on these things, we need to be working on them. I'm not saying you got to overnight turn every leaf over. That's not what I'm saying. But I hope we're pressing through these things. I hope we are determined that I am not going to run with the devil. I'm going to run with God. Now you got to understand, I'm not talking about perfection. I've never met anyone outside of Jesus who is perfect or perfect. But what I'm talking about is a surrendered life to the things of God, cooperating with God to see His will established in the lives of people. That's what I'm talking about, heaven on earth. Are we willing to keep working hard to see people saved? Because it's hard. And I'll shut up with this last thought. And it's right in with this. I'm closing with what I said I would. If there were any other way to bring heaven to earth, that's what we'd be having instead of the hard way. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. God is not punishing you by making intercession and fasting and prayer and discipline and perseverance and all the things that are hard. He is not punishing you by making you go through those things in order to see heaven on earth. It's the same as when Jesus was in the garden and he said, Father, if there's any other way, but there was no other way. The cross was it. And so this endurance that is all through the scripture, this suffering that is all through the scripture, this being a good soldier that's in the scripture, it's just part of the process. If you're waiting on some easy intercession, you're in the wrong body. Because the body of Christ, there is no easy intercession. The world is against you. The devil's against you. His opposition is real. And I gotta say this. Just because I've said some of the things that I've said today, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not trying to make someone feel like it was their fault that some tragedy happened. Life is filled with tragedy. And you don't have to do anything to experience tragedy. But if you're giving place to the devil, you're inviting tragedy. Does that make sense? So don't anybody in here think, well, you're pointing a finger at me because I had some hard things happen to me. I'm not saying that. Hard things happen to good people all the time. Bringing heaven to earth is supposed to be hard. If there was a better way, we'd be walking in it. God's using the best way available to bring heaven to earth. I hope that makes sense to you. It's so clear to me, but sometimes what's clear to me, I have a hard time getting out of the tongue. Let's stand to our feet. You don't have to cook. They already have food ready. There's food back behind that door. That's why we tell people, get you a crock pot. Your Sunday meal, put it in the crock pot. And let the crock pot keep it from burning. Because we never know if we're going to get out here at noon or 4 p.m. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray God that we would stop giving place to the devil. I pray, God, that we would stop celebrating pagan holidays, demonic holidays. I pray, God, that you'd begin to speak to our hearts that we would clean out our houses, God, and DVDs and movies and old CDs. And I know there's so much value in those old vinyl albums, but God, if they're demonic, what is the value really? Your word says that when Paul had been preaching in a certain place, that they brought out all the books of divination. They brought out all the books of witchcraft. And by today's standards, they burned $50,000 worth of books. So God, it doesn't matter if it holds value on planet Earth. What matters is that it holds value in heaven. And God, what we consider valuable sometimes is an absolute slap in the face to you. And I pray, God, we'd get past the idea that we're smarter than you, that we can discern good and evil, and we refuse to accept your standard, God, because your standard is the ultimate standard. You, God, are the one that we all must stand before. God of heaven, help us. Help us to understand, as the Apostle Paul said, that why do we think that this is such a strange thing, that we're going through this hardship? We are called to judge the world. We're called, not on planet Earth, at the end of the age, you will judge the world through us. You'll judge people through us. You'll judge angels through us, God. You are preparing us for something that is so much bigger than all the things that we're seeing right now. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there's a cost, but Lord, there's no other way, and it is the best way. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we just get this settled in our hearts and settled in our spirits, that we would continue persevering as a good soldier of Jesus, that we continue resisting the devil and submitting to you, Father, so we get the devil on the run. And we're not running with him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. If you don't know Jesus, I will stay and talk to you after the service. I promise you I can introduce you to him. He's the greatest person you'll ever meet. There's grub right through that door. What is it, Kat? Walking tacos? Chili stuff? Taco stuff.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.